There are no descriptive solutions, no grand designs for grand problems. Life's solutions lie in the minute particulars involving more and more individual people daring to create their own life and art, daring to listen to the voice within their deepest original nature, and deeper still, the voice within the earth. And that was said by Stephen Nachmanovic. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Well, no grand designs indeed, folks. There is certainly no grand plan that is going to come from any form of government that we have, which is going to fix the problems that we face. The problems must indeed be addressed by the individuals within our society. And it's very important that people do work to address these problems because our societies are under attack, folks. We can see this here in Australia by a simple observation of our surroundings, because when one does look at what is happening around them and what is being done to the country in which we live, it becomes very, very apparent that the country is indeed under attack, and who it is under attack from is corporate interests that our governments have sold us out to. Looking at the way things are run in this country now, it seems apparent that our government are simply mediators for mining companies designed to keep the people under control, keep the people corralled while the country is being strip-mined and destroyed around them. And the sweetener that they attempt to offer the Australian people in order to help them accept the destruction of their country is, of course, the economic benefit that is to be gained from the destruction of the country. And yet when you look at the lives of the average Australian, what you find is that none of the wealth of the country is actually passed down to the people of the country, no matter how much the country is raped. Australia, of course, has one of the highest costs of living in the world, and ultimately it doesn't matter how much money they promise you or how much money they give you. The truth of the matter is that you cannot eat money and you cannot drink coal seam gas. The coal seam gas industry that our Prime Minister and the Premiers of the Australian states have sold the people out to is indeed destroying the country, folks. It is destroying the entire water table in Australia and ultimately polluting the Great Artesian Basin. It is also bringing huge amounts of salt to the surface of the ground, thereby rendering the ground completely useless and somewhere that will never support the growth of food or forest again. What we're seeing in Queensland at the hands of the traitorous Captain Bligh, who has sold the people down the river, is the destruction of Australia's breadbasket, our major food bowl, an area known as the Darling Downs, which is now earmarked for 30 open-cut mines. And this, of course, folks, is nothing other than the pure, premeditated and wanton destruction of all of Australia's farmland and all of Australia's water table. This will salinate most of the soil, turn most of Australia into either a desert or a mine, and it will force people into concentrated pockets of civilization and major city areas, because within probably 10 or 15 years it will be impossible to live anywhere in the country in Australia, as all the groundwater will be polluted. And I would suggest that within 3 to 5 generations, Australia will be completely uninhabitable. And when you think of all the pollution and runoff from these industries and the emissions that also come from the ground from places where coal seam gas wells have been, I can envisage the Australia of 2050 to be something that resembles Mordor in the movie The Lord of the Rings. And this is what our Prime Minister and Premiers are doing to this country, folks. And folks, if you have any doubt that there is not a shred of decency left in any of the politicians in this country, then all you really need to do is to truly understand the concept that there are also 6 or 8 gas processing hubs and ports being built in Queensland, and to service these ports, the Queensland government is currently in the process of dredging the Great Barrier Reef. And they're getting away with it because most of the people in the country are simply locked in front of their televisions and believing what the newspapers and news announcers tell them. And folks, when I step back and look at it, it's almost impossible not to be amazed by the effectiveness of the media-induced apathy demonstrated by the Australian people at the destruction of this incredibly unique environment, this wonder of the world, this icon. I mean, it's a World Heritage Site, folks. What does it mean for anything to be listed on World Heritage if it means you can simply dredge it and put a gas port through it? Oh, sorry, my mistake. 6 gas ports, or is that 8? Where's the outrage? Where are the people? Where are the voices? Where are the marches on the streets? Where are the crowds gathering out the front of Parliament House? There's simply none to be found. People sit in their fluoridated bubbles and believe what the television tells them. They run around collecting paper in order to meet the ever-escalating cost of being alive, without ever questioning why it is they need to pay in order to do so. And they simply believe that everything will be okay, that their government is there to take care of them, when all it takes is a simple observation of one's surroundings to realize that nothing could be further from the truth. And this, unfortunately, is for the most part the overall condition of the general human experience in 2011. We've also had carbon tax brought in this country, even though the concept of anthropogenic climate change has been rejected by the rest of the world. It's still very much being sold to the people here in Australia. Many people have never even heard of the ClimateGate emails, and many that have heard of them probably haven't gone and bothered to ever read any. Many people continue to have the lies of Al Gore pushed down their throats at every opportunity. In fact, Al Gore's film, An Inconvenient Truth, is, I believe, still shown in high schools in Australia. I would suggest the film is actually called An Inconvenient Truth because it was inconvenient of Mr. Gore to actually include any truth in the film. But nevertheless, it is being pushed to the Australian people, and many people still buy into the concept that man is destroying the earth through simply being alive and living in the societies that have been constructed for us. And folks, when I look around me, I can see the climate is being tampered with and it is being destroyed in many ways. When I look at the sky, it's not blue anymore. The sky is this light, hazy, almost blue colour. But it certainly isn't the deep blue that I used to see there when I was a child. And yes, folks, the environment is being destroyed, and the main thing that is destroying the environment are industries such as coal seam gas and the incredible amount of aerial spraying that takes place in this country and around the world on a regular basis. And what I refer to, of course, is what the British Parliament, the UK House of Commons, refers to as geoengineering, and what the United States government is now beginning to refer to as climate remediation. Climate remediation is, of course, the spraying of fine particles in the air to reduce the amount of sunlight that is coming to Earth in order to apparently protect humanity against anthropogenic climate change. But it is the spraying itself which is destroying life on this planet. What we're finding is that the spraying contains particles of aluminium and other toxic metals. This aluminium is killing the trees from the top down, it's poisoning the soil, and it's creating a haze whereby pure sunlight is not hitting the ground. And the earth needs pure sunlight to hit the ground in order to function as a living organism, in order for trees to function. Everything that exists on this planet needs photosynthesis to be alive. Well, everything except for, I suppose, deep water sea creatures, and perhaps underground life, but even these creatures depend on life on the surface. Deep water sea creatures depend on life in the ocean, and the ocean itself depends on sunlight. And this geoengineering or climate remediation is interrupting and interfering with this natural process. And this is, of course, what most people in the alternative research world refer to as chemtrails. And folks, chemtrails, geoengineering, climate remediation is very, very real. If you believe that this is not happening, well, I suggest you go and get a soil sample or a water sample from your area and just see what's in it. And have a look at the sky, folks. The sky does not have that deep, deep blue hue that it used to have years ago. All you have to do is look at it, folks. It's not the same color that it used to be, because it is full of very, very fine particles that are being purposely sprayed by aircraft. And this is doing more damage than any industry that we indulge in, folks. And folks, the important thing to understand about this is that when prompted enough and when harassed enough to explain what's going on in the skies, the politicians do eventually come to the table and offer you words like geoengineering or climate remediation. And they tell you that they're experimenting to save us from global warming. And then they sort of run off and you never really get a straight answer from them. But they do admit that they're doing this, folks. And there are people out there who say, well, that's good. They're doing this to try to protect us. But look, folks, you know what governments are like. If they're actually doing something that they think they can con you into believing is going to benefit you, they announce it on every news station they can. They have bells and ribbons. And I mean, these people almost feel like they need to have a parade down the street if they're doing something right, because they really want the people to know when they're doing something right, hey, vote for me, look what I just did for you. And if they were doing this with the aim of helping us, it would absolutely be on every newspaper, it would be everywhere. Everybody would know how much the government is trying to save us from global warming. But we never hear anything about this aerial spraying on the news. We never hear anything about it from any political figures until we prompt them for information, at which point they give us words like geoengineering and climate remediation. So this should make it glaringly obvious to people that this is not being done for our benefit. Because as I said, if it was for our benefit, they'd be making sure that everybody knew about it. I mean, they seriously would, folks. They'd be literally falling over themselves to tell you how much they were helping you. That's simply the nature of a modern politician. And folks, looking at climate change, it's really important to step back and really take the whole issue in. And look, I've just stated that anthropogenic climate change is a fallacy. And that's true, but it's true to a certain extent, because the climate is changing and it is man that is responsible for the changing of the climate. But it isn't the fact that our societies simply exist the way they do that's changing the climate. The climate has been changed by heavy industry that we don't particularly need, that's only in place in order to support this false system of permanent economic growth in a debt-based currency, and through the very measures that our governments claim to be undertaking in order to protect us from climate change, i.e., geoengineering or climate remediation, chemtrails. See, these are the things that are actually causing the environmental problems that we're seeing. And what's happening is the government is introducing things like carbon tax and blaming the people and their society for the problem. But all these measures will really succeed in doing is locking down the people ever more in order to allow the continued corporate rape of our planet. So the perspective from which the public is being presented things is like 180 degrees from what it should be and what it actually is. And the real problem with it is that people have an enormous amount of difficulty seeing through the haze and seeing through the media propaganda and government propaganda that they're presented with. I mean, a lot of people actually think coal seam gas mining is environmentally friendly. They think gas is the new green energy that's going to save the world. And though gas might burn quite cleanly, the process that is undertaken in order to extract the gas from the earth is perhaps the most environmentally unfriendly industry that has ever been instituted. it's doing so much damage to the world that the world will likely not survive. The modern cancer of the Earth, the disease that has overtaken the planet, known as the coal seam gas industry. And now it is even reaching out its destructive and quite deadly hand to one of the wonders of the Earth, the Great Barrier Reef. Something that amazes me about the whole thing is the workers on these projects. I mean, this is a clear example, folks, that we have created a society of sociopaths. I mean, I can't imagine that someone would think there was enough economic value that they could be given that would make them willing to destroy something like the Great Barrier Reef. If I was working for a company and my boss told me to chop into the reef and to dredge a line through the reef, I'd absolutely refuse to do what he said, and I would seek to press charges against him for the destruction of our environment. I mean, this is a World Heritage Site. It's listed as a World Heritage Site, and any activity that takes place there should go before the World Heritage Committee. And, of course, there should also be a referendum that includes all of the Australian people. Any decision that the government makes of this magnitude should never, ever go forward without a referendum. Because ultimately, these people that we employ to manage our future for us and to manage our infrastructure need to be creating a viable future for us. And any decision that they make, which is going to affect our country in such a dramatic way, should only ever be carried out with the permission of all the people in the country. The fact that our politicians fail to do this shows how much they've left the path of service and how little regard they have for their country and for the people in their country. That's the thing, folks. I mean, people really do need to look at what's going on here. And they really need to understand that just because these people we employ wrote down these rules on a piece of paper that they believe gave them the ability to trash the planet the way they are, doesn't mean that we should let them. Because ultimately, who are they? They're simply public employees. Public trustees who are acting in breach of trust. People need to stop believing that we are required to go along with this, because we're not. What these politicians are doing is completely unlawful, and it's against the best interest of not only the people of Australia, but the people of the Earth as a whole. And the real question is, when are the people of Earth going to stand up and say that enough is enough? When are the people going to implement peaceful action to bring about positive change and stand up and stop these people doing it? When are the people who are working on these projects going to realize that all they are doing is sacrificing their children's future in order to achieve some temporary economic gain within a fictional economic system that is destined to collapse as soon as the resources run a little bit thin, if not before, because the entire system is in fact theatre? You know, sometimes, folks, I wish I could just yell out stop to the whole world and just shout this message from a hilltop. Just get people to stop what they're doing just for a couple of minutes and step back and take a moment to discover who and what they are. Put everything in the world on a global stage and have a look at what's actually going on around them. Realize that while society is busy watching television and busy being divided from itself, Rome is burning, my friends. The entire planet that we live on is being completely destroyed right under our noses, right before our very eyes. And we are the ones that are doing it in order to support this fictional economic system. A system of permanent growth which by its very nature requires a manufactured state of artificial scarcity. You know, to be quite honest about it, the system that we live under is in fact so detrimental to the well-being of the people and all life upon this planet that one seriously has to wonder if it was actually put in place by mankind. And I've often pondered that. I've often wondered how humanity ever came up with such an inhuman system. Because ultimately there is no form of life on this planet that can benefit from the implementation of such a system. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And yet, here it is, folks. And it is interesting to speculate where it came from, but ultimately what we need to focus on is how to dismantle it. And I firmly believe that the best way to do that is for people to realize that it's a fictional system. It's just been made up, the same as everything else we made up to enslave our society, to enslave its people. All the rules and regulations that our public employees made up that give them the ability to trash the planet and sell it off to mining interests, all of these things were made up. The whole thing was made up. The fact that we need to pay to be alive, someone made that up and they inflicted it upon the rest of the world. And this all appears to have happened because somewhere way back down the line we lost our connection to who and what we are. We lost our connection to the planet. We began to be taught that the acquisition of stuff was the meaning of life and defined who and what we are. And we set about looking externally for that which should exist within. And through the implementation of religion and social systems and a counterfeit view of reality, we were taught never ever to look there. But the truth is that the real answers all lie within each of us. It's when we look inside that we can see the truth of what we are and we can work to break down that fear, the fear that's been inflicted upon us, the fear that we've been taught to be in. Because, as I've often said, our entire system is based on fear, fear-based mind control. And we have to look within, we have to do this in a work to break down that fear in order to connect with the people around us. And in order to stand up against this fictional system. Because we're allowing a fictional system to destroy our planet in order to support an economy which is bound to fail. I keep repeating this because it's the absolute truth, and that's the simplistic nature of the problem. It really is that simple. And it's utter madness for us to continue with the system that we have because it's going to result in the death of the planet and the death of all life upon the planet. I don't know what it will take for people to realize that we are literally at war here. We are fighting the fight not of our lives, but for our lives. Because if this economic system is allowed to continue and to destroy the earth the way it is, to destroy our water tables and our food bowls and all of our arable land in order to support itself, then we will not survive. And then what is the point of the system? What is the point of the system to anybody? I mean, we've got to break down this belief that this economic system is real. It's almost like a mental parasite, like a disease of the mind, that we actually believe that the economic system is what is of most value within this creation, when it is in fact what is of the least value. And you can tell it's of the least value because it isn't even real. It has no substance. You can't pick it up and hold it in your hand. You can't eat it. You can't drink it. You can't hold it and feel it like another living creature because it's fiction. And that's one of the biggest problems. And this is what we need our dredge workers and miners and police forces and military to realize. That all they're doing is contributing to the destruction of their planet to support something which is not real. And as I said, folks, I just don't know what it will take for the people of Earth to realize that we are quite literally at war against a fictional corporate system that we could very, very easily defeat by simply understanding that it's just fiction. And I think a lot of people are, in fact, waking up to this, folks. I am seeing the light go on in a lot of people's eyes. Because everything that I say about this on the show and all the things that I point out to you about the fictional money supply and the fictional system and the basic understanding of trust law, it's all common sense. It's all something that you all already know, if you could only remember. And perhaps I've gone a little off topic with all of that, folks, but I guess that's the beauty of an unscripted radio show, that I don't really have a topic, and so I suppose I can go off on whatever topic the tangent leads me towards. But yes, folks, it's all opportunity, and I think we will deal with it. And we certainly do have a lot to deal with here in Australia. And carbon tax as well. I did mention that briefly before. Carbon tax. It seems very convenient for carbon tax to have been brought in right at the critical time in which it was introduced. And this, of course, times very well with the Australian government offering to bail out Greece and thereby gain some type of foothold in the European Union. And that's something that I'll talk about after the break, but I think it is break time here now, folks, and so I'll leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the show today, and I'll talk to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, folks. Yes, so carbon tax is being introduced in Australia, or it has been introduced. It will be implemented, I believe, by June next year. And this will, of course, bring with it an incredible rise in the cost of living in Australia, which is, as I said, already subject to one of the highest costs of living in the world. And this should have the effect of crippling most Australian families. But something else the Australian government has announced its desire to do is to bail out Greece. The Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, has said that because the Australian economy is so buoyant, they should jump in to do this. Because, of course, Julia Gillard is nothing if not a IMF puppet. But what this will do is effectively lock Greece into quite a large economic debt to Australia, which it will likely never be able to pay off. It will also bring about the downfall of the Australian economy. And the significant part about this is that Australia has just introduced carbon tax. So, of course, when Greece is unable to pay its debt to Australia, what it will probably use to pay that debt off is carbon credits, which means Greece will have to implement carbon tax in order to have cap-and-trade dealings with Australia. And because Greece's economy will probably be continuing to gurgle down the tube, it may need to change its dealings with other countries to cap-and-trade as well. But you will see that this will be a way of sneaking carbon tax and cap-and-trade into the Northern Hemisphere, because it had been rejected by most of the Northern Hemisphere. But if they can get one country within the European Union to become economically dependent upon a country that is already operating within the parameters of cap and trade, then this will be a very effective method of introducing it throughout the rest of the Northern Hemisphere. Albeit slowly, but it will be very likely used to do so, and we'll probably see something like that start to make its way into Europe around 2013 or 2014. They're very sneaky, folks, these globalists, and if they are unable to achieve their goals by one method, then they always have something else up their sleeve that they're ready to throw into the pot. And that seems to be what we are seeing with Australia's decision to bail out Greece. We can also see the globalist agenda moving very much forward with the implementation of the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. This is, of course, effectively implementing the Asian or Australasian Union, and this will include Asia, Indonesia, Thailand, New Zealand, and this will basically pave the way for the corporate rape of all of these countries, because the TPP is a partnership agreement which allows corporations to come into any of the countries that are involved in it and gives them open slather to override any local legislation. This could mean that a mining company can come into your country, it can completely trash your environment, irrespective of the environmental laws that may be in place by the country, and if the country attempts to take action against the corporation will then sue the government. So it effectively puts all the signatory countries under complete corporate control. from that point forward. And that is why it is such a dangerous and ridiculous agreement for countries to even be thinking about signing up to. But of course it is being presented to the world as a wonderful opportunity for free trade. But as we all know, folks, free trade agreements have nothing to do with helping any country. All free trade agreements serve to do is open countries up for corporate exploitation and lock them further and further into globalization. And you see, that's what it's all about, folks. It's about globalization. It's about turning the earth into one big corporation. That's what the New World Order is. The New World Order is a business and economic model that will be run by a group of people who are basically the CEOs of the global corporation. And all governments will be subservient to these people. This will be controlled via the central banking system that's been put in place by the Vatican, and all governments will simply act as department heads of their respective countries, which is basically what they are already, folks. I mean, this can be seen in Australia simply by the actions that our government is doing. As I said earlier in the show, it would appear that the Australian government is simply a group of mediators for mining companies at the moment. I mean, that seems to be their sole purpose, is to console the people to the fact that their country is being destroyed around them and to continually inform them of the wonderful economic benefits it's going to bring to them. Going to bring you lots and lots of paper that you can't eat, folks. And this is what we need, isn't it? We can all sit there and build paper houses and make paper pies to eat. Wonderful stuff. And of course, there are also much darker things that will come with this globalist agenda, with this global corporation that's being created, such as the genetic modification of species, the genetic modification of forests and animals and plants and basically everything on the planet, folks. The ruling elite that are implementing all of these plans really do wish to create two separate species on this planet. They want the beautiful elites and the dumbed down workers, and that is very much where their plans are heading. And things are certainly very much on track for these people, and they are showing no signs of slowing down. The one good thing that I'm seeing is that there are more and more people becoming aware of the situation that we face, simply because the actions of the ruling elite are becoming more and more blatant and more open, such as the coal seam gas mining and the beginning of the rape of the Great Barrier Reef that we are now seeing in this country. People are beginning to realize that if the government is prepared to go to these measures of destruction, then there is probably nothing that they're not capable of, and that is very, very true, folks. And it's a good thing that people are beginning to wake up and see this. Very interestingly, a local council, the Lismore City Council, has basically thrown a company, Metgasco, out of the area, told them to pack up all their wells and leave, that they're not going to have any of their gas exploration permits approved. And that's a very good thing, and it'd be great to see some other local councils following suit. Of course, they're only actually able to do this to those gas wells that they're attempting to put in on council land, and this is because the gas company had actually put permits into the council and then brought all their well equipment in and started setting it up before these permits were even approved. And the local people alerted the council to the fact that these wells were being set up, and because the gas company had jumped the gun, the council basically revoked all of their permits and told them to leave, that the permits were not going to be approved. And it just shows, folks, the arrogance and the ego of these companies, that they believe they don't even have to wait for their permits to be approved, and that they just have open slather to go into any area and begin putting in gas wells and starting their fracking operations. And as I said, folks, the most amazing thing about these companies is the mental state of the people who work within them, because these people are working to destroy their country and the future for their children in order to garner some short-term economic gain. When I look at them, folks, their actions really do defy all logic, and Their attitudes defy all rational analysis. And this appears to be happening right across the board as well, folks. It isn't just coal seam gas mining that's doing it. We've got the actions of the Fortescue Metals Group in Western Australia with their blatant theft of Aboriginal land in order to mine it for iron and bauxite. We have the open-cut mines that are planned for Australia's food bowl on the Darling Downs, which has been approved for 30 open-cut mines. We have open-cut uranium mines planned for South Australia in the Northern Territory. And folks, open-cut uranium mines, these are incredibly toxic places. You find that all the area around these mines is subject to very high levels of radium contamination. And really, folks, what we're seeing in Australia with the current mining boom, and this covers all aspects of mining, as I said, uranium, bauxite, iron ore, coal seam gas, coal, you name it, they are just moving forward in leaps and bounds. The mining action in this country at the moment is literally unprecedented. We have never seen anything like it. It's absolutely mind-boggling, the amount that is being undertaken and the speed with which it is being set up. So they're doing it very, very quickly so that people don't notice what's going on. By the time people realize their country is devastated and polluted, all the infrastructure is in place, all the mines are in place, all the shipments are moving along, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. I mean, once you put in a gas well and start extracting gas from it, you can't exactly just go and turn it off and plug the hole. You can't just one day decide that you don't want a coal mine to be where it is, or you don't want an open-cut uranium mine to be where it is, and you'd like to build a housing estate there instead. It doesn't work that way. And so they're just pushing it forward in leaps and bounds, and the only hope we have is that the Australian people wake up from their slumber, pull themselves away from their television sets, and take a little bit of notice of what's going on around them and stand up to stop all of this, because as I said, folks, if we don't, within 3 to 5 generations, Australia will be an uninhabitable wasteland. And all being done in order to support an economic system that is, by its very nature, ultimately destined to complete collapse. Ah, what a wonderful world we have allowed to be created for ourselves, folks. But at least people are waking up to it, and so that does, of course, present us with the rather wonderful opportunity to address the situation and thereby change things for the better. Now, just to change the topic a little bit, folks, I've been doing a lot of research into aerial spraying and things like this lately, and something that I'm very much in need of at the moment is a microscope in order to continue the research. And I would actually like to include some of this research in the new film. So that's another thing that's holding me up with the film. Apart from the fact that I need to build a far better computer than the one I have in order to be able to finish it and not put such a strain on my computer system. Unfortunately, I may have been a little bit ambitious with some of the things I've included in the film, folks, but you know, I am getting there. It's just a slow process. But something I'm in need of is a microscope, because there is some research that I'd like to include in the film, but I need to do it myself. I don't wish to take anybody else's word for anything, and so I'd like to study the evidence for myself. So anybody out there who might have a high-powered microscope, preferably with a camera attachment or possibly a USB connection or something so that I can put it on the computer screen and save images from it, but I do need something quite high-powered, like bordering on a biological microscope, something that I can actually get down and see very, very small particles with. So if anybody could help me out with anything like that, or knows where I can pick one up cheap, or has any connections and knows a way that I might be able to get hold of one, it would be great if you could contact me. The plot thickens, folks, and it's actually quite interesting where the twists and turns lead you when you really start investigating things. But yes, well, that's just the point I'm at the moment. I actually need a microscope. The thing is, the plans of the elite and the systems of control that are put in place to lock us down into this reality are so complex, and you have to go down so many rabbit holes and then tie it all together to really see what's going on. And sometimes the information you discover in one aspect of this system is so convoluted that it just doesn't make any sense to you until you start realizing that it's just one piece of the jigsaw puzzle. And you put everything together in one big global picture, and then it all begins to make sense. Because ultimately you do find that it does all tie together. You find that globalization, global corporations, GM food, HAARP, chemtrails, fracking, smart meters, vaccinations, you find that none of them really make sense on their own, but when you put them all together, you find that they're all interrelated, and a very, very coherent picture begins to form. And you see, it all centers around ever-tightening systems of control, and it always has, and they do it in small ways, and they gradually escalate it. There was actually a recent raid in Nevada, I'm sure many of you have heard about, when the so-called authorities raided an organic picnic. The party was raided by someone who passed herself off as an environmental health specialist, and whether this woman actually does have this title or not is reasonably irrelevant because she's basically just a middle-aged woman on a power trip. And she raided this health farm and basically made them throw all their food out and shut the party down because she said so, basically. She had no law that she was supporting. She had no legal authority to do anything that she did. And she ended up being escorted from the property by the police twice, I believe. But it just goes to show what these so-called health authorities are attempting to do. And it also shows very much what happens when you take all of the freedoms away from people and then give them a little bit of power. They tend to go off on a complete ego journey and work to remove the rights of others as much as they can, simply in order to do so, simply because they can, because this is all an energy thing. This is all an energy harvesting thing that these people do. But that's quite amazing to see that this woman actually had the nerve to raid a organic picnic and to order the people to throw their food out because she believed it didn't live up to Nevada standards. And of course, I mean, Nevada standards, folks, these people will force GM food down your throat and everything that's presented to them by Monsanto and Big Pharma and tell you it's good for you when nothing could be further from the truth. So we know what their standard is. Their standard is basically outlined for them by the World Health Organization. And the sole purpose of the World Health Organization is to make sure that health is something that the people find very hard to obtain. The World Health Organization essentially prevents people from being healthy, the same as the World Trade Organization isn't actually about free trade, but rather about corporate monopoly. Remember, folks, that everything the government presents to the public is always presented to them from a perspective of 180 degrees from what its actual purpose is. What you usually find is that the actual truth lies somewhere in the opposite direction. And so I wonder what will be next on the cards for the human race. I wonder what the next thing will be that they present us with. War with Iran? A global financial meltdown, although I don't really expect that to happen until next year. I would actually expect to see something like that occur somewhere between August and December of 2012. Although it's very difficult to speculate, folks. I've honestly been expecting the financial system to come crashing down any time for the past 2 years. But they keep propping it up with more wars. And so it is very, very difficult to predict when it's going to collapse. Although the fact that the Olympics are on in London and they finish in August 2012, and that the Federal Reserve Charter runs out on December 21st, 2012, very much does indicate that we may well see some type of huge false flag event followed by a complete monetary collapse sometime late in 2012. But of course, I'm not the only one saying this. Almost everybody that you listen to will tell you that they are expecting some type of huge false flag event and some major collapse near the close of next year. So it will be interesting to see how that all plays out. Something that I've really noticed around here and that I've noticed up on the Gold Coast and in all the areas that I've visited lately is an incredible escalation in aerial spraying. And that's perhaps why I've been talking about chemtrails so much on the show today, because I'm just seeing them above me in the sky every day. And like I said, I'm seeing that even on a clear day now, the sky above me is this pale metallic blue color, and certainly not the deep blue that I remember from my childhood. I've been noticing an incredible amount of chemtrails here over Byron Bay for the last month, and this lends me to believe that something is very much on the cards, but only time will tell what that is. The world that we are in today is far more precarious than what it was 12 months ago. We've had the Gulf of Mexico oil spill, we've had Fukushima, we've had all of this fracking that's been carried out around the world in the last 12 months, the war in Libya, the continued decimation of Palestine, the predictable saber-rattling against any country that stands up to the IMF, and the continued wanton destruction of natural habitats all around the earth. We've seen a lot of people wanting to change things and occupying cities all around the world with the Occupy movement. And we've seen the terrorist activity that's been carried out against these peaceful protesters by the local law enforcement agencies, who have chosen to enforce corrupt private statutes over actual law. And we've seen our governments become more and more open with their dictatorship and tyranny and their lack of respect for the people of their nations. And this hasn't been isolated to any one country. We've seen it happen right across the globe. The governments will push and push and push as much as they can until the people finally revolt. And then they'll just back off just a little bit and allow the people to relax for a little while. And then they will begin the push again. We've seen this happen here in Australia. Constant referendums for the same thing. The government will have a referendum, the people will vote no, and so the government will organise a new referendum. And again, the people will vote no, and so they will just keep going. We've had referendums up to 3 times in this country just because the government continues until they get the votes they need to push whatever their agenda is through onto the people. We live in a world where all of our governments, all of our public servants have very much left the path of service, and where all seem to be simply acting as mediators between the people and international corporate interests. And we've seen a huge escalation in the corporatization of the planet on which we live. And as always, within all corporate structures, the most expendable thing within the parameters of this global corporation are the people themselves. And this is the direction that the human race is heading into. This is the direction in which our planet is moving. And if the people of the Earth continue to allow the planet to move in this direction, the human race and the Earth itself and all life upon it will simply not survive. And the only thing that's going to fix it, the only thing that's going to turn things around, is when the human race decides to stand up and be what they were destined to be. When people decide to look within themselves, face that inner shadow, break down the barriers between themselves and their neighbours, and all work together to create the wonderful, beautiful world of abundance in which we should be living, in which we could be living, if we were to just face this fear. I still believe that in what is left of 2011, we can increase our influence more and more. We can continue to support the Occupy movements and things like this, as long as these movements retain the focus on the problem and the solution to the problem. The thing is that we, the human race, are currently fighting the fight for our lives. It's not the fight of our lives. It's the fight for our lives. It's a battle that must indeed be waged, but it must be waged in a peaceful and empowered manner. It is a fight for the future of life on this earth. We can do it, folks, and I believe that we do. I believe that we will come through this and we will look back and laugh and say, wow, what a situation we almost got ourselves into. But in the end, we came through. And that's what I believe the future will be. But in order for that to happen, each of us has to participate. Well, that's about it for me for the day, folks. Thank you very much for listening to the broadcast today. Thank you for continuing to visit thecrowhouse.com. Thank you for any support you've ever shown me. It is very much appreciated and it's very much needed. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then and never lose sight of the power that you all hold within yourselves. In Lakesh.